Elaine Crombie is a powerhouse performer. Whether you know her from her theatre work, like Barbara and the Camp Dogs and Seven Stages of Grieving, from TV shows like 8MMM and Kiki and Kitty, or from her one-woman cabaret, Janet's Vagrant Love, there's no denying Elaine can tell a story and hold a room. Now she's putting those skills to use in stand-up comedy. I spoke with Elaine about what's drawn her to stand-up and how the Aboriginal Comedy All-Stars are teaching her to pay it forward.
I've been to a couple of Aboriginal Comedy All-Star gigs. I remember going to one once in Adelaide at the Adelaide Festival. We were in a small tent and I just looked at Andy and Sean, and this is when Steph Tisdell was among the ranks. I have known and watched Kevin for a lot of years prior to this, and I watched Andy style, Kevin style, and I just was like, something in me was going, well, I could do this. Not at all in a conceited way, but I was just like, dude, I can, they're making it look really easy. I can do this. And when they had the deadly funny heats, I walked in the room and I had my son Andrew with me this time. I walked in and Kevin looked at me and he goes, no, you're an actor, no. I was like, what? I want to have a crack. You know, I made it through to the finals, you know. But I will say, some of the stories I told, my son chimed in and really drove home the punchline. So I probably have Andrew to thank you, Andrew, for my career as a comedian.
A little mini heckler that's really driving your point.
He's the best. And I recently said to the boys too, I was like, we probably need to do a show together. We need to do a stand-up show together because they're funny. Those two lads are so funny. Give them the right mentorship, they'll kill it, you know, if they ever turned their eye that way. But, yeah, so I got to the final, and, of course, building up to that, I've always, you know, I've watched Melbourne International Comedy Festival on TV. I've felt like that's one of the places to be if you want to go into stand-up. And I remember getting on the stage in the final. Now we're in the final, we're over at South Bank in the Arts Centre, and I remember just having this joy overcome me as I walked out to do my set, and I was like, oh my God, I'm on the stage with the red letters, the Melbourne International Comedy Festival's right here. Like, I was just in, it was, yeah, because I just felt like, even in that moment, whether win, lose or draw, I'd made it. You know, that's the brilliance of what the Deadly Funnies do, and there's a clear track that is headed to the Aboriginal Comedy All-Stars as a vessel from, you know, working your way from a heat into the finals and then maybe one day into the Aboriginal Comedy All-Stars cast, or even coming in as guest appearances. You know, like, the options are endless with what that could be. And it isn't something that's out of reach.
Yeah. I've spoken to a lot of people who have been through Deadly Funny and actually have also gone on to work with the Aboriginal Comedy All-Stars.
With our grandfathers, you can say it. Kevin, Andy and Sean with their grandfathers.
But yeah, like, I think there's something really lovely about the work that they've been doing in making that space. And so I would love
super
to
super accessible. Super accessible. Those fellas, you only got to tap them on the shoulder. It's not even about trying to set up a meeting. You could literally tap them on the shoulder, and this is what happens behind the scenes anyway. We walk in, depending on how I feel, I could just walk in and deliver a thought the most random thought, or if I've been working on a joke, or if I've been thinking about a joke, I could literally walk in and just say that joke, and then suddenly we're having a conversation about it. But then later on that night, while we've either been on stage or waiting to go on stage, a conversation sparks up again about, hey, so how do you think that that works? Or what do you think that, or you could go so many places with that. You know what I mean? Like that's how easily accessible, especially in regards to Kevin, Andy, Sean, who show us how accessible they are, that then the Deadly Funny alumni are as accessible to each other and to newcomers coming in. It's unlike any support that I have seen. It's a fresh, like, there is coming from acting and theatre and TV into this realm, and there are all different types of support in all of those other different genres. The comedian genre support network is by far the healthiest, most engaging, most, you know, arms wrapping around you kind of support that I've found. I'm new to the cast of Aboriginal Comedy All-Stars, and I've kind of gone through a, you know, we as artists, individuals, are ever-changing and evolving and trying to find different ways to express our craft. I am trying to find a different way to still stay involved in theatre and kind of push myself into different areas. Like this week I am dramaturgy for a wonderful new writer that hails from Wodonga, Rachel Oak Butler, and I'm down here at Malthouse and really pushing for this work to be put up by Malthouse, you know, as a new work, but bringing people in. Like, we just need to be able to chock the door open and hurry people, not hurry, but at the same time, yes, hurry, like just get everyone in the room and then we can work with people. And so in the same breath of saying that, I'm new to Aboriginal Comedy All-Stars and sitting among the ranks of Jaunty Blair, Jaunty Blair, Jay Waimara, Kevin Crepinieri, Andy Saunders and Sean Chulbra, there are some days where I just think, especially when I'm in it with them and we're doing the shows and we've got like four or five shows back to back, I wake up every morning and I go, dude, what? What is going on? This is like, I feel like, yes, I've made it. I've done wonderful things in my career. But for some reason, I just go, I am a comedian. It is I can't believe that I am in shock and awe all the time when I reflect on it, because I'm really grateful to have the opportunity to be a part of it.
I had wanted to ask you about the way you think doing stand-up might impact the way you approach your stagecraft in other areas.
I think that stand-up comedy helps me to vent and release other ideas and thoughts and workshop them and then bring them onto stage. Like with the part of my set that I do now, there's a chunk of it that comes from my one-woman show, Janet's Vagrant Love. And that particular story has been workshopped through black comedy writings from the first initial workshop that we had down at Coogee before cameras, you know, at least a year and a half before cameras started rolling on black comedy. So that joke has come from there, and it's been shown, it's then been put into my one-woman show, Janet's Vagrant Love, and it's been performed at the Adelaide Cabaret Festival, Adelaide Fringe, Melbourne Fringe, Sydney Festival, possibly Perth International Cabaret Festival next year. You know what I mean? Like it's still holding, and only this year at Adelaide Fringe this year as a part of the Aboriginal Comedy All-Stars has that joke started to evolve, and I've started to add to it, and it feels right, and Andy helped me do that just through a conversation before we started the show, you know. And so it definitely helps me exercise and massage ideas, and then, you know, in telling jokes and trying to work jokes up, sometimes I'll look at it or hear it and think about it and go, oh, maybe that should just be more of a, maybe I need to write a bit more on that. And then maybe that finds its way in a play or something or somewhere else. Do you know what I mean?
Like, you start to think about whether this is necessarily the right home for that thought.
And it might not be a joke. It may well be a parody song. And so because I look at it and I look at the craft of stand-up comedy and I go, for me myself, I've looked at it and gone, I can do that. I know that I can do that, and I know that I can do that well.
How would you describe your stand-up? What does it actually look and sound like?
It's just a big moan about life. I'm a storyteller comedian. Yeah. And I'm talking about my kids, I'm talking about life. I find a lot of comedians talk about their love life. A lot of female comedians very much talk about being on Tinder and stuff. And so I hear that and I go, now that's deadly for them. What else can I talk about? Like, I still, even though I am in the mix of everything, I'm also still trying to go, well, what makes me stand out? And, you know, you look at Kevin, and my 17-year-old son, Michael, he came to the last show of Aboriginal Comedy All-Stars, and he was like, oh, when Uncle Kevin talked about the words deadly and charged up, he thought that was hilarious. He was killing himself laughing. And so I see Kev's style of educational as well. And I think, and I also think to, you know, and then I'm constantly thinking to myself about what in today's climate can I talk about, you know, but it's my style's very much storytelling, setting up, you know. I want to get good at like setting up a joke, and then, you know, you hit a certain minute mark and hit the punchline, and, you know, you can, however many hits you can have after that, kind of like the, and the reason I say that is because I was watching a Cat Williams interview, and he was talking about this comedian that was setting up this joke, and he said, you know, this particular joke takes about 3 minutes to set up. Then once you set it up, bang, 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 you can just roll with all the hits after that. I completely nerded out about that and focused on that because I was like, that's also what I want to know. I want to know the methodical way to set up a joke and get to the point, hit it, and just go, you know, because my style is storytelling, but I also want to be able to be aware of the technical side of things and how people do it, because I think that it is a real craft, but it's not a craft that is untouchable for people. And it's not something that is out of anyone's reach. It's a skill that very well can be learned, you know. It's not an untouchable thing.
I'm thinking about the fact that Janet's Vagrant Love and the way that you wrote that show, and it has a collection of stories and songs. And there's a through line. There's absolutely Like, it's a show that builds to its climax. I mean, that's a very different show. That's not necessarily meant to be a laugh from start to finish. Mm. But I think the bones of the skills that you're talking about are something you've already done in your work, in your professional life. So it's really interesting to me the way that you are applying that in this space,
mm-hmm.
where the intentions, arguably the intention can be the same. It's just that the way that you get there will sometimes be different, because you can use comedy to get people to think about something in a different way.
Absolutely. Also, taking the urgency out of something and laying it all out on the table in a very methodical way and talking through stuff and just kind of debunking things. Like, that's that, I find that intriguing to do that. I don't have a example for you, but you know.
No, but it's
I did have an idea of saying, well, you know, like Karens, we talk about Karens and how they, but to methodically debunk their purpose and who they are and their functionality is funny in itself. I don't know if that makes any sense to our conversation.
I think it does, because it's highlighting the absurdity of that behaviour.
Yeah, but also that the base of that is something like, we can talk about Karens. I can talk about Karens till the cows come home, because the main thing that, you know, the main thing that we see portrayed with Karens is that they are inherently racist.
Mm.
You know, and it's like, well, what is that? Why are you? What, because of the colour of my skin that you're having this Karen reaction? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, but then to also to point out the absurdity of what they're, who they are and why they are, what, why they are doing that, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Like that, it's, there's, you see, I'm probably going to have to write this down now, because that's, it's a great thing to think about.
Yeah.
Yes, I should. Wait. Just
hey,
let me,
we're I'm recording just... though.
Oh, yes, I can just come back to it. But, you know, I've got my trusty black and white book here that's got all of my thoughts in there. So I'm just going to write on my little, where's my jokes page? Jokes.
I should let you have actual writing time.
Oh, no, I've written it. All I've written is Karens.
Beautiful.
Maybe I should just put a little sub note. Listen back to away interview.
This is how I'm going to, like, boost my listenership, is just use it as a voice note.
Yes. Yeah, you could bring a whole heap of people, like big, all of our big thinkers and all of our frontline fighters and all of our, you know, black academia, and bring them all in and just be like, look, okay, so just go.
Just
I'm
just
recording.
Say
what's on your mind. How are you going to change the world? See, because I'm going to change the world with my Karen jokes.
Yes.
And I'm going to try and debunk Karenisms. And Kevs, Karen and Kevs, if that's what they, I don't know. There's a lot of references of the male equivalent of Karen as well. Dales.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't quite settled on a universal name for those guys.
Ooh. Maybe that's a part of my...
But so, is this something that happens for you, like, and something kind of strikes you as possible?
I'm going to be really honest.
Mm.
I don't do as much homework on my jokes as I should. My warm-up and revision of my jokes happens the day, probably the hour before we're meant to be on stage. It's terrible. I'm never, because I just, I don't... Because I also, but also I need to be around, I've got to be around Janti, I've got to be in the chat groups kind of running stuff or not, or, you know, just, or just being near people. And so that's why it's so, like, I go back to the accessibility of, there was a time where I just rang up Kev and I was like, and I said the joke. He answered, he said, hello, and I went into the, I pitched the thought. I pitched the idea. And then I just started to go with it. I've had, you know what I mean? Like, that's, yep. But it's great to have that stuff, but I'm never purposely thinking about that and making time for it because life, you know. It's also about stage time. It's about going into, having the confidence to go into clubs and get up on an open mic night and just run stuff. It definitely, the thing with stand-up comedy is you need to be doing it all the time in order to understand what it is, to understand what it is and understand who you are and what your style is. And that's why we are all so accessible to each other. See, even big names like Laura Hughes and Felicity Ward, both friends of mine, easily accessible, have also both said, send me voice notes. Send me your voice notes and I'll help you. If you ever want to run stuff by, and you know, you see that because as Laura and Felicity have said that, and you know, and I've said that Kevin, Andy and Sean have also, you know, are always easily accessible. That says to me, I need to be accessible for these other fellas coming up behind.
Eileen Crombie there. She was speaking with me about touring with the Aboriginal Comedy All-Stars, an all First Nations collective of comedians. You can catch Eileen along with the rest of the crew at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival on the 13th and 14th of April at the Capitol. Or see them in Brisbane on the 2nd to the 5th of May at the Brisbane Powerhouse. I'll put links to both those shows on our show page.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.